Sausage and dun 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 dun. Sausage dun 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 dun. Sausage.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Are you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We can venture off onto a plentiful bounty of topics. We might have to run away from the scene of the crime sometimes, but in the end, we all come full circle. And the reason why I had to say that was because Mike just made a brilliant dash from the recording chair to the printer because he forgot the print. One of the things we're going to talk about for sports. That was brilliant. You okay?
I had to hurdle over a chair and jump through a flaming hoop. I walked all of 3 feet. I barely got up out of my chair. It was frantic though because the intro was coming to an end. I was like, if I don't time this perfectly, Rich is just going to have to ramble for a while.
I thought for sure you were going to fall out of. I thought you were going to trip over the chair because you did this like weird lean, and
yeah,
I was like, uh oh.
I was worried I was going to yank the equipment with me because I kept my headphones on so I could hear what was happening. So I was like, I can't go too far.
Yeah, you're going to tumble and you're going to roll around on the floor, and it could have been bad.
Do a barrel roll.
you would have been doing a barrel roll.
It would have been some type of roll.
To barrel roll, press Z or R twice.
Yeah.
Where's the Z or R button?
I don't know, but you would have needed it. Yeah. Maybe it means on your laptop that you carry. Maybe. Press Z or R twice. I don't know.
To barrel roll, press Z or R twice.
Well, there you go. We are so frantic, we will run to get all the proper information we need.
We are literally changing information right up until the moment we record.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's appropriate given the subject that we have in the sports sampler, which is the NFL free agency. So we'll get to that in just a bit. But before we do, we like to go over, you know, a little bit of an introduction as to what we've been up to in the past week since we've recorded the last episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. So, Mike, what have you been up to in the week or so that we've been since we've been on the air?
Well,
barrel rolling.
Do a barrel roll.
I was doing a lot of barrel rolling, I must admit. Yeah.
To barrel roll, press Z or R twice.
Actually, I'm not lying, because one of the things I did this past week was play a lot of Grand Theft Auto Online.
Really?
Yeah, and I was obsessed with the flying. And so I was flying a lot of jets and doing a lot of barrel rolls, honest.
Do a barrel roll.
Check your G-diffuser system.
What was that? Check my what?
Your G-diffuser system.
Check your G-diffuser system.
Something's wrong with the G-diffuser.
Yeah.
Why do you have two clips devoted to the G-diffuser?
It's very important. How can you do a barrel roll without the G-diffuser?
Do a barrel roll.
Check your G-diffuser system.
Something's wrong with the G-diffuser.
Is that like G's, like pulling G's, like gravitational force?
Yes, and if it's not diffused properly, you
die?
You can't do a barrel roll, and everyone's upset at you.
Do a barrel roll.
Wow, I didn't realize it was so important. I'll have to remember that.
No way! I don't believe it!
I love how so far I've played nothing but Star Fox clips.
I know, I'm just comprehending the depth of these Star Fox clips. I mean, there's so many of them. Did you rip the entire game onto your iPad?
Almost. I love this. Star Fox 64 was one of the best Nintendo 64 games growing up in the 90s.
I never played it because I was a PlayStation guy from the very beginning.
You missed a great one with Star Fox. There were just so many great lines in it.
It's a flight sim, right?
Yeah, well, a fighting flight simulator. And it was great. It was actually kind of one of the first games to have replayability with different storylines, because not every playthrough you would go through the same levels. Like,
was it like randomly generated?
No,
or?
It was based on like little, I don't want to say hacks, but like little things that you did in the mission. Like one of the things was the first level. I remember the first level is if you defeat the boss, but if you also fly through these little caves,
right,
as opposed to flying over them, but if you fly through them,
right,
you advance to a different level. You don't advance to the standard level.
So, like, everything you do in the level has a consequence, kind of.
Rudimentary.
Right.
Yeah,
Mass Effect.
Yeah,
but,
this is not Mass Effect. But rudimentary. It was, like, the first one to tinker with that.
Well, for the N64 generation, that was pretty revolutionary, I imagine.
Right.
I can't remember many games having branching paths in the N64 PlayStation generation.
Yeah, So it made you want to play the game over and over and over again to see if you could find what the secret level was.
And I can imagine like 11-year-old Rich just playing Star Fox.
I need to figure out what it is. I can't fly through the goddamn caves.
Was that your version of like my Twisted Metal? Like I would play Twisted Metal constantly on PlayStation.
Well, I actually did have Twisted Metal. That was awesome.
Did you? Yeah, yeah. That game is great.
But yeah.
What
so anyway,
are we talking about?
Yeah,
again?
I don't know. We got on Star Fox and
video game history and all that stuff.
Yeah, let's go back to Star Fox.
Do a barrel roll,
annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
Even more.
There you go.
Even more.
Yeah.
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
The great Leon. He's one of the people you face.
Is he French?
Yes.
Yes.
He's a French frog.
Okay. Yes. A French frog.
Well,
wow.
Reptile creature.
That's
not exactly
a frog. Racist at all.
No! It's Leon!
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
He's the great Leon.
All right.
Then. To his own! To the great Leon!
Annoying bird. I am the great Leon.
Lisa! To the great Leon!
Nobody's gonna understand what you're saying.
Lisa, mademoiselle, pay attention to the great Leon!
Sing the French song.
The one from
Inception.
That's the best I can do.
People won't know, but we were talking French during dinner for some reason. Well, our version of French.
Yeah, it's not.
Which isn't one. French.
So that's the best I can come up with.
Well, I think that was a good example of how to speak French.
Thank you.
I think our listeners learned a lot today.
I assure you, we're getting the news. We spent the first 5 minutes of the show going over Star Fox and fake French accents. But I assure you, real news is coming.
I think we're off to a smash start. That's not even a phrase. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah. I played GTA online this week.
Yes.
And what did you do? Because I'm just totally lost now. What did you do?
All right. Well, over the weekend for me, I actually went to Valley Forge Casino Resort.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was actually my first time in there since they renovated the place. And, boy, it was pretty swanky for it being a local casino resort in our area, in the Philadelphia area. I mean, it
was very swanky.
Yeah. I mean, it's right by the King of Prussia Mall.
Yeah.
So I'm in Norristown, so that's like 10 minutes away.
Yeah, that's not
gosh.
Too far from you.
It was great. It is still small. It's not an Atlantic City casino.
Right.
I mean, I hope you're not comparing the two. But it was really fun. I had a good time. I went out with a couple of coworkers, and it was a good time. And
so,
if you're into the gambling scene and you might not want to make the full drive all the way to Atlantic City, it was a nice substitute.
So how much winnings?
No winnings.
No winnings? Aw, come on. I thought you watched all those. You watch Casino all the time with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you're going to win the
You watch a movie called Casino.
Yeah.
I expect you to be good at casinos.
I pretty much know the movie Casino in and out. I love that movie.
You do. I know.
But,
movies don't translate to real life, of course.
No, but you know, it was a good time, and You know, I didn't lose anything substantial, but you know, it was fun. You know, for a little bit, I was actually winning on the slot machine. Go figure.
Wow.
Yeah. Out of all the things, I was losing on the tables. I was losing at craps. I was losing on roulette, but you know what? Slots. I think I pulled a quarter machine and I won $20. And I was
like, wow. All right. I would have just walked away there.
Yeah. The only thing is that came like in the middle of the night.
In that
awkward part where you're not going to leave because it's still like, oh, I'm back to even.
Yeah.
You don't want to say, oh, I broke even. Like, that's kind of like, all right.
So you got to keep going.
You got to try.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, that's what I did. Not successfully.
But you still have a good time, though. Yeah. That's what matters.
Right. And, if you're into the gambling scene here in Philly, check out Valley Forge Casino Resort. It was pretty good. I had a fun time. All right, there you go. That's enough. That's enough of introduction. We jumped from video games to Star Fox to French.
I don't know
how we got there, and then to my weekend of loss. All right, so there we go.
Weekend of loss. Yeah. That's so depressing.
Well, there you go. That's what we were up to in the week since our last episode. All right, enough foolishness, enough mayhem, enough goofing off.
Because we're so serious here.
Yes! Alright, we're very serious here. Yeah! I'm a DJ!
That fucking sucked.
Yeah, alright, we're very serious, especially with our first subject, which we call the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports, it's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face, ha ha!
Yep, and again, despite the fact that there is no football being played, we've got to talk about football with the Eagles.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football.
Yeah, we've got crazy headlines. I don't even know where to begin. Free agency has hit. The offseason is in just pandemonium right now.
Yeah, I mean, free agency just started on Tuesday, and oh my gosh, so many moves by so many teams. A lot of noise being made by the Philadelphia Eagles, of course.
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip zop zoom da bop.
A lot of noise.
Right. You took that quite literally.
Yep.
So why don't we go over some of the Bill Cosby list noise that the Eagles made?
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip zop zoom da bop.
Oh, so
a lot of noise.
Right. The Eagles have been making a
estás en toda la boca.
Que te va a hacer pupita.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
So there you go. That's a lot of noise.
You know what? That pretty much sums up what's going on in the Eagles front office right now. I just imagine a bunch of people jumping off the walls, screaming. And
there's a Spanish horse.
There's a Spanish horse. There's a goat for some reason. Because at this point, I think Chip Kelly is willing to trade just about anybody for anything.
Well, I'll tell you what. That is a true statement. If I was working in the Eagles organization as a player, as a coach,
I'd
as a front office assistant, I would be afraid for my job security.
I'd be scared.
Everybody is apparently tradable. No one is irreplaceable.
Chip Kelly will trade himself if he has to.
Yeah. I will trade myself. Put myself up on the trade
block.
That's
right. But why don't we go over some of the key moves that the Eagles made so far in free agency. Let's start with a couple of key additions to the team. We were successful in re-signing outside linebacker Brandon Graham. He signed a 4-year, $26 million contract with $14 million guaranteed. He was really productive in that rotational role as outside linebacker. He filled in on both sides throughout the year. He's expected to start this year with the departure of Trent Cole. And Pro Football Focus said that he is one of the most productive outside linebackers in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback in terms of how many snaps he's played. He gets, I think it was like something like 120 pressures in three seasons. So he gets a very high rate of pressure on the QB, which is what we need in that position right there. Him alongside new inside linebacker Kiko Alonso from Buffalo in that McCoy trade, I think is going to give us a really solid linebacking core, especially with Michael Kendricks and Connor Barwin. Now, we don't know what's happening with D'Amico Ryans yet, but from the looks of it, our linebacking group could be one of the better ones in the NFL.
Yep, and this defense is playing a 3-4 defense.
Yes.
So linebackers are key. And, boy, if we need to stack the box, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the way our front seven is shaping up. And we're finally getting some of the help in the secondary that we need. The Eagles have signed a six-year, $60 million contract with Seattle cornerback Byron Maxwell. We had talked about this last week, about him being one of the potential targets for the Eagles in free agency. And the Eagles went out and they got their guy, $25 million guaranteed in the first 3 years. You had said before the show that you think he was a little overpaid.
I'd say probably a little bit, but you know what? The bottom line is this Eagles defense just desperately needed an upgrade at cornerback. Like beyond
desperately.
Like a thirsty man in the desert just searching for water. That's what the Eagles were with the cornerback situation, because they were just getting burned left and right on deep passes. It was embarrassing.
It was really bad. We went from 32nd in pass defense to 31st. Last year, so there was.
We improved?
We actually improved.
How the hell did we do that?
I don't know if you would consider it an improvement to move from dead last to next to dead last. But the point is, we definitely needed a lot of help. And I think one of the reasons why Maxwell is overpaid this year, or, you know, I mean, it's arguable whether he was overpaid. I think he might have been a little overpaid, is because of the free agency market for defensive backs. It was really Devin McCourty coming out of New England, Byron Maxwell, and Darrell Revis, again, coming out of New England. And
Revis is already gone.
Revis and McCourty are off the table, so that leaves Byron Maxwell, and the Eagles don't want to lose him to anyone, so they just offer him everything they got.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he'll work out. He was really good in Seattle. He was a solid starting corner. I think he's a major upgrade over Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher.
Yep.
I think that is a easy statement.
Hopefully it's not another
Asamoah and Dominique Rogers Cromartie.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that was bad. But this last addition right here, this is the big news in free agency for the Eagles. As if they haven't made enough news already. We've acquired St. Louis Rams quarterback Sam Bradford in a trade for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
So Nick Foles is now gone and playing for the Rams, and we get often injured quarterback Sam Bradford.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
No! Yeah, this was pretty weird to see this headline coming out of the football scene.
This was a shocker, especially considering we had anticipated the Eagles to use Nick Foles as a bargaining chip to trade up in the draft to get their boy Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I still think it's a bargaining chip.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh yeah. A matter of fact, I think this confirms it. I think if Nick Foles was still a part of the Eagles roster heading into the NFL draft, I would say that there was still a doubt in Chip Kelly's mind as to whether or not he was going to go to Mariota, and that at least no matter what, he could fall back on Nick Foles. But the fact that he traded him like this to get a relatively unproven quarterback who's been injured in the last five seasons.
He was at one point a number one overall pick.
Right, but he still hasn't done a whole lot in his career.
True. And if you look,
that's not his fault either.
He's not.
He just had a lot of injuries.
And you look statistically, him and Foles are basically, you know, right there with each other. The difference is Foles, you know, played for less time than Bradford. The point I'm making is that Sam Bradford is not proven. You're right.
Right. So, you know, why would you bring in somebody that you've never worked with into this fold? When you've had Nick Foles, who's kind of on the same same playing field
right.
as Bradford. To me, it sounded like the moment he realized he was going to get rid of Foles, that he was going to need Mariota in the draft, if that makes any sense. I don't know if I explained myself right there.
Well, I mean, some of what you're saying is echoed by some reports that I've been reading that a lot of those teams in the top, like, 10 spots that are looking for quarterbacks would prefer Bradford over Mariota in the draft. There was a report that came out, and this is interesting, came out last month that with the exact headline, NFL rumors, teams prefer Sam Bradford over Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston. So what I'm thinking is that if those teams prefer Sam Bradford, maybe he is being used as a bargaining chip. Maybe going into the draft, they say, hey, Tennessee,
yeah,
check this out.
We
got Bradford. We got a first-round pick. What do you say? Let's make this happen.
I believe Tennessee would be a great trade right there.
I think if
Tennessee just lost their quarterback, Jake Locker, who's 26 years old, announced his retirement.
Look, when you play in Tennessee for 4 years, Rich, I mean, that kills you.
Screw you. I would rather be retired than play for the Tennessee Titans.
You want the Jamarcus Russell route.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, right. I need to leave. So now Tennessee needs a quarterback. I don't know. I think the stars are aligning here for Chip Kelly. I think he's going to make a move. Right there, I would presume Tennessee. Maybe he'll go somewhere else in the top 10 pick. But I think this is it. I think he's all in.
Tennessee is the most likely one.
I think he's all in on Mariota. I do not believe Sam Bradford is sticking around.
Although
you were saying that Eagles were welcoming him or something.
Well, there are some reports. Now, mind you, these are all Twitter reports. So this is like, you know.
Oh, good for you. Twitter reports.
Well, I'm saying it's not been verified. You know, these are all people that, you know, someone in the know.
Oh, good for you.
But, yeah, so some reporters are saying sources, you know, quote-unquote sources, have said that the Eagles view Bradford as the answer, that they said Chip Kelly went hard at the Rams to get Sam Bradford, that they want to stick with him. Meanwhile, you know, there is the report that a lot of teams in the top portion of the draft would value Sam Bradford over Marcus Mariota. So, I mean, which reports do you believe? Do you believe that they could use him as a bargaining chip, or do you believe?
I think he's going to be a bargaining chip. I do not see Bradford sticking around with the Eagles.
Well, I will say this, and I've read some analysis, online that's saying, you know, Sam Bradford, will have a better shot with the Eagles because we have a much better offensive line. You know, but I don't know how far that better offensive line will go now that our offense is completely gutted. But I don't know. It's just a very interesting, intense situation because I don't think this is the move that people wanted to see on the opening day of free agency.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Of course, this is made even more difficult by all the losses the Eagles suffered during free agency. You know, we talked about some of the additions. We had these four key additions, but we've had several losses. We did not re-sign Bradley Fletcher. I mean, obviously. He is getting some interest from the Vikings. Cornerback Kerry Williams was released, as we know, but he was signed by the Seahawks, so we essentially swapped corners. Offensive lineman Todd Harrimans was released, and he was signed by the Colts. Outside linebacker Trent Cole was released, signed by the Colts again. And of course, we had the McCoy trade to Buffalo for Kiko Alonso. But this is the one that really hurts. Wide receiver Jeremy Maclin is reportedly going to sign with the Chiefs for a deal that is close to $11 million per year for 5 years. I mean, the McCoy trade was tough. But I think at the end of the day, we both sort of agreed that the Kiko Alonso angle was sort of beneficial for the Eagles. But this Maclin deal, this scenario is not sitting well with me.
Actually, for the Maclin deal, I can understand because it's unfortunately, it's a very business like move. I mean, Macklin's coming off of a breakout year. Of course, his contract expired. So what's he going to do? He's going to ask for more money.
Of course, he's going to get the payday.
Right. And, you know, it came down to the Eagles didn't want to pay him. But, and if that happens, you gotta let him go.
I guess the big thing for me is that in the past 2 years, you know, we had a record-setting offense 2 years ago. In the past 2 years, we've gotten rid of Nick Foles, DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, and Todd Harriman's. 5 out of 11 starters from 2 years ago, leaving 6 guys originally on that offense. We're completely gutted. We have nobody at our skill positions now.
Yeah, we're doing the flip side. Now we have a good defense, and now we don't have an offense.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people that are saying, you know, Chip Kelly believes you don't need standout offensive players, that you can plug anybody into a good scheme with a good quarterback and a good offensive line and make it work. And there is some evidence of that. I mean, look at, you know, the Seattle Seahawks getting it done well, they did have Marshawn Lynch, but their wide receivers were, you know, just regular guys. The Patriots did it for a long time with relative nobodies at wide receiver. So it has been done before, but never by the Eagles.
Yeah.
We tried this strategy once before. Do you remember the Eagles from 2000 to 2004? I mean, we basically made it to like 3 NFC championship games with James Thrash and Todd Pinkston.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh my God.
And
I remember that.
And we did use a running back by committee with Westbrook and Deuce Staley and Krell Buckhalter. So there is, I mean, this, what you're looking at now, folks, is the early 2000s Eagles team, minus Brian Dawkins and Donovan McNabb. I mean, those are the key differences.
And minus Andy Reid.
And minus Andy Reid, of course. Although Chip Kelly strikes me as very Andy Reid-ish. I've always said he seems like Andy Reid 2.0.
Well, hopefully he's not when it comes to game management, because
we saw a little bit last year. He's, you know, Andy Reid took too much time. Chip Kelly doesn't know how to take enough time.
Yeah,
it's absurd. It's like, can we not find somebody in the middle?
No, it's
stuck
impossible.
In the middle with you.
We can't.
Clowns to the left of me, Jokers to the right.
Andy Reid to the left. Andy Reid to the right.
Stuck in the middle. Who's in the middle? Bill Belichick, I guess.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
He is the standard for coaching, I think. At least this generation. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, just a lot of losses on offense. Jordan Matthews is looking good, the rookie from last year, wide receiver. And the one thing that I'm sort of okay with is the fact that the draft is pretty deep in the wide receiver and running back classes, from what I understand. There's 5 wide receivers projected to go in the first round. So I think the Eagles can find talent in those skill positions in the draft. So I guess it's not as pressing of a need, but you know, right now we're missing a lot of talent that we had 2 years ago.
Yeah. Chip Kelly's plug and play theory is going to be tested this year.
It's really going to be tested, and we'll see how it works. And I don't know if he can make it work with Sam Bradford, but then again, if he sells the farm to go get Marcus Mariota, you know, if that doesn't pan out, then we could be in trouble for a few years down the line.
And Chip Kelly would be out of a job.
Yes, he would be.
Oh yeah. He'll be run out of Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, but I don't know. What else is there to talk about in free agency? Maybe we should go over the Nick Foles deal. How about that?
All right.
The specifics of this are just really odd to me. The Eagles sent Nick Foles a 2015 fourth-round draft pick and a 2016 second-round draft pick for Sam Bradford and a 2015 fifth-round pick. Does that seem like a fair trade to you?
I think the Eagles overpaid. Oh, yeah. Which is why I think they don't really care about Bradford.
I don't know. I mean, some people might look at it the other way.
I think that they're going to use him as a bargaining chip.
But then why give up so much for him?
Because they read that report that the top 10 teams want Bradford.
So you think Chip Kelly is coaching this team by reading Bleeding Green Nation and saying, oh, God, well, they're saying that teams want him, so I might as well go out and get him.
No, I can't imagine Sam Bradford actually leading a Chip Kelly offense. I just don't think it doesn't meld.
I mean, I've read some reports that say that he would fit it better than Nick Foles does. I mean, I don't know. I really think this could go any number of ways. I think that's actually kind of what's exciting about this free agency, is that Chip Kelly seems like just a madman. You know, he's just doing whatever he wants to.
Well, I said last week that for the first time in as long as I can remember, the NFL draft is not about a player. It's about a coach this year.
It is. It's all
and
about
it's all
Chip Kelly.
Because you're just wondering what he's going to do. How's he going to, you know, move up the draft, or if he's going to actually run with what he's got.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Well, the draft comes in April, I think.
Yep.
So, but until then, there are still some free agency solutions out there to some of our needs. I think it'd be safe to say that we're still looking for a corner and a safety, and we're definitely looking for wide receiver and running back. Right now, Andre Johnson is still out there, former Houston's standout wide receiver. The only problem with him is that he turns 34, so I don't know if he's going to be that much of an asset. Also, I hear that he's looking at the Colts. Percy Harvin was just let go by the Jets, so he's another option. But, again, he's been injury-prone the past couple years, hasn't he?
Yep.
So another risky move there. Now, it's interesting. There's a lot of running backs still out there, notably C.J. Spiller, San Diego's Ryan Matthews, Baltimore's Justin Forsett, who ran for over 1,200 yards this past year.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Yeah, and, of course, DeMarco Murray is still out there, who led the league in rushing. So there's a lot of running back talent still out there in free agency. And again, in the draft, there's a couple running backs projected to go in the first and second round. So I think that might be – I think we can find something there, but the Eagles need to get moving on that. In terms of the secondary, I don't know if I want the Eagles to pursue a safety in the draft, because from what I've read, there's only one safety projected to go in the first round. And I don't think the Eagles are going to take that safety in the first round because they just don't draft safeties.
No.
And I don't see them taking a safety in like the third or fourth round and expect that safety to start. Odds are, and I think this is a very strong possibility, that the Eagles are going to end up re-signing Nate Allen. What do you think?
I don't know.
There's nobody else out there. Right now, the top free agent is Raheem Moore from Denver. And the analysis on him is that he's turning into a quality starter, and he's young at, like, 25. So it could be possible that we sign him, but then again, he's not that much better than Nate Allen, even though Nate Allen's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would rather try something new.
So you're saying go Raheem Moore or the draft?
I
know for a fact they're not going to draft a safety.
I was just so disappointed last year in just how easily they just gave up those big plays. I mean, the job of a safety is to either come out on a blitz or help protect your cornerbacks, and like they just weren't doing it.
Yeah,
You know. So I don't know. Nate Allen goes. It's no sweat off my back.
But then do we go with Earl Wolf? Then is one of the safeties on the roster, but I don't think he's ready to start either.
No, go after Moore.
All right. Well, I mean that's a possibility. I think it would be a welcome change. I just don't see the Eagles doing it. The Eagles the past few years have just not been very good with safeties. Mm-hmm. Ever since Brian Dawkins left.
Yeah, that's true. Brian Dawkins just left a hole that just can't be filled in that defense.
Yeah. It's so depressing. It's such a shame, but it's so true. And cornerback, there's a few cornerbacks in the draft. We still need another one. Maybe Brandon Boykin gets a chance to start outside, even though I know they don't like his size. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fit there. They want big cornerbacks. There's still a couple cornerbacks left out there. Antonio Cromartie. We had some mild success with Dominique Rogers Cromartie. Do you think we give his – is it a cousin, I think?
What, Antonio Cromartie?
Yeah, Antonio Cromartie and DRC, aren't they related?
Well, they're – I don't know. They have the same last name, so maybe they are.
But anyway, the point I'm making is Antonio Cromartie is out there. Do you think the Eagles go for – Cromartie or Green Bay's Tremont Williams?
Well, Cromartie is a very good player.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him in an Eagles uniform.
I think he'd be a good match for the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The Eagles have spent so much money right now with Byron Maxwell, and also Sam Bradford's cap hit is a lot more than Nick Foles,
which is another reason why I don't think the Eagles are keeping him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think this is all part of the plan.
This is
Chip Kelly's Joker. It's all part of the plan.
Whatever the Eagles are planning, they need to figure out what they're doing quick, because I'm telling you, you know, by the time you guys are listening to this, probably a whole bunch of free agency news is going to change. That's how quick it moves in the NFL.
Yep.
So they better figure out what they're doing fast.
I can't remember a more hectic opening to the free agency period than this year.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
I was nonstop. I would check my news feed that, you know, I would find an article, I'd read the article, go back and check my news feed again, and everything is changed.
Yeah.
It's been like nonstop news coming in, basically.
Mm. So there you go. A complete wrap up of everything that the Eagles have done up until this point. But I'm sure more news will be coming, so definitely stay tuned for what the Eagles have in store. But for us, that'll end the sports sampler. Oh my God, more crazy news.
So much sports.
Football. It was all football for you.
Well, I mean, the best sport.
Yeah, but you know what? I know next week we'll be talking March Madness because the...
Oh,
what?
Basketball?
College basketball.
Okay.
Not that NBA stuff.
Yeah, what's the NBA?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. We have an NBA team? When did that happen?
Yeah. We recently changed our mascot to a dog for some reason.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Wasn't a dog?
Yes, Franklin the dog. That's why we don't pay attention to the Sixers. But anyway, that's the end of the sports sampler. We gotta go to a commercial break for right now, but don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we'll have the entertainment entree. A lot of things to talk to you there in terms of TV, movies, and video games. And then after that, the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work!
What? We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, ready to go into our most entertaining portion of the show. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of entertaining stuff to bring to you in this segment.
That's why we call it the Entertainment Entree!
And now, the latest in movies.
Guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Sausage wrap.
That was the sausage wrap.
We are debuting a new sausage theme song I love how many ridiculous sausage. We have like,
why did sausage become our thing?
Just because your dad. Your dad just came on the show one time.
One time. Well, he did come on during Christmas, but
yeah, no, but so the very first time.
It was so off the cuff though. He was like walking in, and we're like, yeah, let's talk to him. And 30 seconds, and he spawned a monster.
Sausage mayhem.
Sausage mayhem. Sausages everywhere, as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, I mean, we will still get emails and YouTube clips and Twitter posts that'll be like, hey, check this out. And apparently someone sent us the sausage rap song that's going viral right now.
Yeah, this is sort of going viral right now. You may have seen it, may not have. It's in its infancy of virality, I guess.
Ooh,
is the
very
word.
Very nice. Yeah, virality.
Vocab lessons.
Yeah. So I decided to add a little crispy noodle flair to it with,
of course,
our traditional sausage clip.
Sausage!
There's a dickle in there.
Yeah. Dickle. I mean, the song is about, you know, dickle. It is.
And there's one of me. There's a yeah in there from the DJ clip.
Yeah! I'm a DJ!
So there we go. We crispy noodled it up.
Yes, it was a beautiful rendition.
So that's the crispy noodle sausage wrap. And I think we're going to add that to our arsenal of sausage songs. It's ridiculous. I have like 5 sausage songs.
It is just absurd.
I might have to do like a side dish coming up.
Just sausage.
Of just all of our sausage songs.
We should research like, I don't know, something about sausages. And like do a segment about.
How very specific. Something about sausages.
No, I mean, well, maybe, you know, like sometimes our side dishes are like weird. Maybe we could research like the weirdest sausages or something like that. I don't know.
We could have all the goddamn sausages.
Sausages! 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 Oh my god, sausages! We got all kinds of sausages. Big sausages. Little sausages. Brown sausages. Slightly less brown sausages. All kinds of goddamn sausages! Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch!
All the sausages.
All the sausages.
So there you go.
Oh boy.
All the sausages here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah. We should partner up with like a sausage company or you make sausages. Don't you guys know any sausage companies?
No, we make our own sausages.
Well, go into business then. Costando family sausage.
You've been telling us that for years.
Yeah, there you go. Go into business.
Sausage, what was it? Costando family sausages?
Yeah.
Sounds strange.
Why? Costanzo family sausages.
I don't know. Maybe.
There you go.
Although technically we make it with my aunt and uncle, so it'd be like Costanzo, and I don't know if they want me to use their last name here, but.
Well, yeah, they're
Costanzo
not
and their last name family sausages.
All right. Then
so there you go.
Just, I don't know. Go with noodle sausages.
Noodle sausages.
Yeah. They'll be like, what?
I like how
are
we're
you selling noodles?
We're the crispy noodle. We're named after a Chinese food. And our I don't know, what is this? Like, our state
running gag
food is sausage.
A running gag of the show sausage. Is sausages. Go figure.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
All right.
We've spent like 4 or 5 minutes talking about sausage.
Yeah, let's heed your dad's warning. No more sausage talk. Let's get on to the news headlines that we have going.
It's time to get into This Week in Entertainment.
All right, Mike.
I'm still dying laughing.
What do we got for This Week in Entertainment?
Oh, well, first up in the world of movies, we have an interesting horror film coming out. We don't talk about horror films a lot because I personally don't like horror films.
Really? But
they're scary.
No, seriously, are you actually scared of them?
I'm not a fan of many horror movies. I like some of them. And this might be one to check out, because it's been getting a lot of good reviews, which is something odd for a horror movie. Currently, it's got an 85 on Metacritic, which is really high in the horror genre.
Yeah.
Also, it was at the 2014 Cannes Film Festival. Which, you know, is a nice little resume point right there. But it's coming out in the U.S. this week. It's It Follows is the title. It's about a young girl gets involved in a sexual confrontation, but then she is followed by an unknown force. And I watched the trailer, and it's incredibly creepy. Nothing, no jump scares in the trailer, no anything like that, but very suspenseful, very dread-filled. It looks like a really intense, scary, almost realistic type horror film. So it might be one to go check out. That's coming out this week. That's It Follows.
All right. Sounds like a good one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it is. In TV, this isn't really TV, but on Netflix, there's a new comedy coming out created by Tina Fey called The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And this looks hilarious. I watched the trailer, and it just struck me as incredibly funny. It's about a 29-year-old Kimmy Schmidt escapes from an Indiana doomsday cult. And so it's following her try to reacclimate to normal life. And it's starring Ellie Kemper, who played Erin from The Office. I don't know if you remember the sort of...
Yeah.
You know,
the bubbly...
Bubbly, sort of ditzy secretary.
Right, right.
But anything with Tina Fey in, that she has a hand in is going to be good.
Yeah, Tina Fey doesn't make any... Tina Fey just does not do anything wrong when it comes to the world of comedy.
Yeah, and again, and this is getting really strong reviews as well, just like the last one. So far, it's got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Whoa!
And a 78 out of 100 on Metacritic. So could this be the next hit Netflix series to go along with House of Cards and Orange is the New Black?
Hey, why not?
They got the drama, why don't they get the comedy now, right?
Right.
So make sure you go check that out. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt from Tina Fey. Looks really funny. And oddly enough, for video games, we have another TV show type thing. It's hard to describe this because it premieres exclusively on PlayStation consoles. It's called Powers. It's premiering this week. The first episode is free for everyone, but those that subscribe to PlayStation Plus get the entire first season for free. And this is based on a comic book, which is all the rage nowadays, is to adapt comic books. It's set in a world where humans and superheroes coexist, and a homicide detective who had his own powers taken from him investigates crimes involving superhumans. So it's sort of like he's up against, you know, he's against all these odds, and it seems really interesting. It's supposed to be a very mature take on the superhero genre, so it's not going to be like the campy Spider-Mans or, you know, the heroics of the Avengers. It's going to be real mature and gritty, almost a realistic look at the superhero underworld.
I think it's interesting that this is coming out on PlayStation,
PlayStation Plus? Consoles, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a very unique way to try and sell a TV show.
It is. This is done by PlayStation in order to sort of combat Microsoft's push into that realm. Remember, Microsoft announced they were doing original programming? They were going to do a Halo TV show. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, Microsoft decided, we're not going to do it. But Sony was like, screw it, we're going to do it anyway. So this is Sony's response to the failed Microsoft original programming. So, yeah, and if you subscribe to PlayStation Plus, you get the 13-episode season for free. So go check it out. Seems like a good deal. Finally, in video games.
Actual video games.
This is big news. Grand Theft Auto V is coming out with the heist update for their online multiplayer.
Woo!
Oh my gosh, this is going to be big.
I can't wait for this.
4-player co-op heists, similar to the single-player heists. Basically, you do the same thing. It's a multi-stage mission where you and 3 buddies team up to take down banks, and I don't know what else you're going to be taking down. But maybe we might have to play a few of these, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
What do you say?
I'm in.
We just had to find 2 more people with PlayStation 3s.
Yeah.
But it's looking to be good. And if they're as good as a single-player game, it'll be just as amazing online. So go update your copy of Grand Theft Auto V to check those out.
And there you go. That's what we have for this week in entertainment. I'll tell you what, I really am looking forward to that heist update.
I am too.
It's been a long time coming.
It kept 2 years, right?
Yeah, it kept getting delayed because of just logistical issues.
Well, they wanted to make it right.
Yeah. So,
and that's what Rockstar does. If it's not right, if it's not ready, they're not going to put it out.
Right.
And their games are some of the best because of it. But that's why I was playing Grand Theft Auto Online this past week. So I was trying to get ready because I had never played it. I never played it up until this week.
Not the online?
Not the online, no. Yeah. And I just realized how incredibly fun it is.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
It is super fun. Yeah, so I will have to jump back onto that to play some heists.
Yep. If you see, I think I said this last week on the podcast. If you see anybody trying to ram cars off of bridges with a fire truck, that's usually me. I think that's so fun.
I'm the one getting constantly killed by much better players.
Yeah. That
so
too.
If you see a dude running constantly into the thick of a firefight, that would be me. It's horrible. Oh my gosh, my guy. I just don't have any weapons, so I'm just constantly dying. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about some actual entertainment news, Rich.
Yeah, well, this is related for video gaming.
It is. This is actually more Sony news. Sony announced that the consumer version of their Project Morpheus virtual reality headset will be releasing in the first half of 2016. This is like a new fad in video games, is this virtual reality. But Sony, right now, even though it entered the game late, you know, everybody was talking about Oculus Rift.
Right.
Which has disappeared. I mean, have you heard anything about the Oculus Rift? We sampled it at Too Many Games, actually, last year.
Yeah, that's the last time I remember hearing about the Oculus Rift was actually at Too Many Games convention.
Yeah, but
check out our website for videos and photos of it.
Yes, do that. And hope maybe we'll see it again this year.
Yeah.
But since then, everybody's been talking about Project Morpheus because apparently it does everything the Oculus Rift does except better. And most importantly, it's more comfortable. I don't know if you remember, but the Oculus Rift was really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a little bit because it kind of like
it straps over your head. Yeah. And that's the cool thing about the Project Morpheus VR headset is that it puts all the pressure on the front of your head. So you don't have this goggle thing like digging into your face. It's very strange. It like rests on the top, almost like a hat, sort of. I can't describe it without showing pictures. But from what I've heard, the initial reports from video game blogs and tech blogs is that it's more comfortable than anything else out there. It's more finished than anything else out there. It looks great as a product, and it performs spectacularly. It's got a 5.7-inch OLED display that has a resolution of 1920 by 1080. So, I mean, you're getting
full 1080 HD.
Yeah, exactly. So this is top-of-the-line visuals. OLED, too, is one of the best screen technologies. It's got 120 hertz refresh rate, which means that things can be rendered up to 120 frames per second. So everything is going to be smooth as butter, and it's going to be, seamless. It also has really low latency, which Sony really hammered home that it only has an 18 millisecond or less latency. So everything is going to be as precise as possible. It has 9 LEDs on the headset, which help with motion tracking your head in space with the PlayStation camera. And again, going back to the headband, supports the weight of the unit, so nothing is strapped to your face or your eyes. There's no pressure on your face. It's all on the top of your head where you would wear a sort of hat-like device. But the most interesting thing about this headset is that the reviews have been very, very positive and very excited. I listened to a blog podcast the other day, and the people said that it was one of the most immersive game experiences they've ever had. I mean, this is coming, you know, after the short 3D fad that we had a couple years ago. So I guess my question is VR for real?
Well, I mean, it sounds like a lot of these companies are pouring money into it. They want to see if it is.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if VR does take off. Because, you know, we didn't experience the Morpheus, but we experienced the Oculus Rift at Too Many Games. And boy, it is a fun experience.
It is fun. And we played that first-person shooter, and I don't know about you, but a couple of times something would drop down on me from above, and I'd be like, oh, God, what is that? You know, and I'd, like, jump back. Because
it's funny because, like, you know you're playing a game.
Yeah.
Mentally, you know I am not in danger. but yet something will happen on the screens that are showing right to your eyes, and like the fact that you're seeing it, your first reaction is still, ah, there's something falling on me.
Yeah, because you're there with it. It's not like when you're watching a screen, like the rest of the world is around you and you are motionless. You're sitting there. But when you have the VR headset, when you turn your head, the environment around you changes. You know, it's like turning your head in real life. And that was the thing that was really cool to me, is that you could turn and look at something else and the camera would follow it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like peripheral vision.
Yeah, it tricks your mind into thinking you're actually there because you're controlling it with your head. And apparently the Project Morpheus does it better than the Oculus Rift in terms of resolution, in terms of motion tracking. It's supposed to be, from what I understand, spot on, incredibly fluid. So there was a little jerkiness in the Oculus Rift, and the resolution wasn't very good. And I guess this makes more sense than 3D, because you can wear these over glasses technically.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were able to,
yeah,
weren't we?
Yeah, we were. 3D, you can't really do that. I mean, you can, but not really. The other thing is that with 3D, things are popping out at you, but you're not interacting with it. With VR, you're interacting with it. Like in a first-person shooter, if you turn to look to the right, your character in the game will turn with you. If you have the motion controls, you can see your hands in the game. You know, you can manipulate objects, look down at your hands and manipulate things. So it's a much greater level of immersion and interactivity than just 3D watching stuff fly at you. So I think there's a good shot for VR to be the next thing. I mean, every company is pouring money into it.
You know, is Microsoft doing it?
Microsoft is doing a virtual reality thing. Android announced one. Oculus Rift is still doing it. Sony is doing it. So all the major players, essentially, are working on VR headsets in one form or another.
Well, yeah,
so this isn't like 3D, where it was only Sony. Remember Sony with its 3D push?
Oh, yeah.
That was bad.
Well, I mean, I'm excited to see if this actually comes to fruition. I mean, the first headsets are going to launch in 2016. I don't know. I think this could be interesting.
I think it could definitely be interesting. The only issue is price, of course.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be expensive.
Right.
I can imagine this being $300-$400. So definitely not a launch buy for me, but maybe down the line.
I always thought it would be interesting. I always thought it'd be interesting if in the future, I don't know, maybe like 10 years in the future, the big thing with video gaming would be like a whole room is like dedicated to a video game, and like the walls are like projecting the images.
So like the HoloDeck.
Almost, yeah. Almost.
I mean, that's what you're describing.
Yeah,
in a way.
I guess it is. But I don't know. I thought that'd be cool to like do it with a video game, so that like when you look, you are.
Yeah, and I mean, essentially, VR does that, except it's not
without walls.
Yeah, I mean, it's bringing the room to you instead of you going into a room.
Instead of me knocking down walls and constructing walls made of plasma TVs
and creating hologram technology and installing it.
Okay, so maybe I wasn't more efficient in my planning.
But no, I mean, I think eventually, you know, didn't they have like a hologram version of Tupac perform?
Yeah, they did. Remember that?
Yeah. So I mean, the technology is.
Yeah, they did Tupac. They did Elvis.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, the technology is getting there, and I think VR is the first step in that direction, because it's combining motion controls, which was always kind of gimmicky. But when it's motion controls combined with the VR, it's like you're right there in the environment. So I think that's something that would work perfectly with video games.
Yeah, especially if you can get like an immersive world.
Maybe this is – remember last week we were talking about the next step for video games?
Yeah, maybe this is
it. Could you imagine a game like Heavy Rain with VR? Like you're like actually in the world. It can't be like a first-person shooter.
How about L.A. Noir?
Or L.A. Noir, yeah.
Like you're picking up clues and you're trying to figure out who did.
Like, yeah, like a first-person detective, like, action, like point-and-click type game.
Yeah, why not?
I think the slower action games would be better than, like, the Twitch reflexes, because I don't want to be snapping my head back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I could definitely see it, like a first-person detective adventure game.
Yeah, why not?
That would, I'm calling it right now.
I'd be in LA Noir. I'd be in.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is I mentioned Heavy Rain and those like story, like character driven games. The developer, Quantic Dream, has not announced a PlayStation 4 project yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. Hmm. No. And as you know, they were one of the big Sony developers in the PlayStation 3 era with Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah. Oh, that seems weird.
I'm just throwing that out there. The VR headset comes out in 2016.
Oh, you think they're waiting for
Quantic
this?
I'm just saying. They had a tech demo 2 years ago and then nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So you think they're waiting for this technology to come out?
I think because of the way Quantic Dream and David Cage works, they're always trying to push the technology. Did you ever see the Kara tech demo?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they were like one of the first companies to do voice acting and motion cap and facial capture at the same time.
Right.
So it would make sense that they want to keep pushing the technology. Just throwing it out there.
By the way,
just throwing it out there.
If you are a video gamer and you've not played Heavy Rain or Beyond Two Souls,
oh man,
you're doing yourself an injustice. You need
those games are so good.
I mean, if you enjoy any sort of story based game, those are. I mean, I know they're not traditional video games,
right?
You know, like shoot 'em ups or anything, but they're just great stories. Yeah. Especially Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain in particular. That was. I mean, oh man, it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah, I mean, some people complained that it was too much like a movie, but
I loved that. Yeah, I loved it. You're so connected to those characters, and you're so like on the edge of your seat with the action. What?
You know what else too? You don't have to be a gamer to play a game like Heavy Rain.
Yeah, and I think that's
my mom played Heavy Rain.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's
because you don't have to. You know. Shoot.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about.
There's only like one part where you have to shoot a gun.
But even so, it's like single button presses, isn't it? It's not like aim with this stick and move with that stick.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's what my parents have trouble with is like this using two analog sticks. They're like, what do you mean use both of them? It's like, I don't know, use both of them, you know? But that's the beautiful thing about games like that is that it does allow anybody to play.
Right.
And I think there are some gamers that hate that. They're like, oh, it's the dumbing down of games and they're too easy and they're too quote unquote cinematic. They're not real games. I say, screw you. I think it's great that anybody can enjoy these experiences. Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God, that's what I say.
You got really upset over there.
Well, because I hate that like stereotypical like gamer attitude. That fucking sucked. I don't know. It just annoys me. Like I'm all about the experience and the more people that can experience it and have a good time with it. I think that's the better option.
I agree.
But anyway, so maybe VR will be the next step in that. I'm like, you know, going into this, I was like, I don't know about VR, but now I sold myself on the VR. I'm like ready to go with it.
Curse you, technology!
I am a sucker for technology. I love technology.
Curse you, technology!
It's a love-hate relationship. You know what I'm not exactly sold on, though, Rich? Is this next news story we have that came across another Sony story? Like, what's up with Sony all of a sudden?
Sony making moves, I guess.
They're the eagles of the entertainment world.
need to make headlines.
Yeah. Well, this headline in particular really caught my eye because I just don't understand what they're planning here. But apparently, Sony is looking to do a Ghostbusters movie. A male-oriented Ghostbusters movie starring Channing Tatum to release after the 2016 female Ghostbusters reboot. But that's only... Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, they have... Oh, God, I love this theme song. But anyway, I gotta resist the urge to sing. So, yeah, they're gonna do this male-oriented Ghostbusters after the female Ghostbusters reboot. But this is all in an attempt to start a cinematic universe for the Ghostbusters franchise.
Yeah, so essentially a Ghostbusters cinematic universe.
Yeah, just like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where you have a whole bunch of movies that interweave and reference each other and tie into a larger plot, a larger lore and universe. Here's the thing, though. Marvel has the built-in backstory and lore. Ghostbusters does not. I mean, it's just not there.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Does Ghostbusters need or deserve a cinematic universe? I mean, it's two movies. And there's no, looking at it from a strictly science fiction perspective, there's no explanation for these events. There's no setup. There's no, you know, this entrenched lore like you have with fantasy and science fiction and these comic book adaptations. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, Ghostbusters, I'm a little bit wary of making a cinematic universe for, because there's not really a whole lot of lore behind it. I mean, the idea...
It is. I mean, it's four guys. It's a comedy.
I mean, Dan Aykroyd made Ghostbusters really just kind of as a special interest, because he was interested in the afterlife, in the occult. And he still is to this day. Matter of fact, like, he'll go on...
That is interesting.
He'll go on, like, podcasts about, like, afterlife and death and ghosts and stuff. Yeah, and he'll go on.
We should change our focus and get Dan Aykroyd.
Hey,
we're
Dan
now
Aykroyd.
A paranormal podcast.
Yes.
Rich, how many ghosts did you catch last night?
Two.
Two? Wow, that's pretty good.
I got two.
Considering the Ghostbusters take a whole movie to capture, like, one.
One was Winston Churchill, and the other one was...
Winston Churchill was haunting Norristown.
Yeah,
nice.
The other one was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
I don't know why. They were.
Are those the only two dead people you could think of?
Yes. Damn it, Micah, you put me on the spot.
Sorry. Yeah. So, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted your point about the Ghostbusters cinematic universe.
I caught Ronald Reagan with jelly beans. It was great.
Oh, wow.
The old jelly bean trick.
The old jelly bean trick. Did you like put the jelly beans under a box with like a stick and a string?
Yeah.
And you yank out the stick and it traps Ronald Reagan. Hey, let me out of here.
Yes, that's exactly how he sounded like too. That was a good one. I didn't
Thank
know you,
you
could do a Ronald Reagan.
I didn't
impression.
Know I could either. I just went for it. I'm not going to do it again.
Well, anyway, to go back to my original point, Ghostbusters. You have a problem because there's not really a whole lot of established lore behind it. So I don't know how exactly that's going to work. I mean, I get the idea that they want to make another Ghostbusters for the current era.
Oh, of course. I have no problem with that.
Yeah. And I'm actually really I'm really a fan of the fact that they're going with an all-female cast. I think it'll be hilarious.
That's
going
to be great.
But as for its own cinematic universe, I don't think Ghostbusters can pull that one off. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of backstory that warrants.
Yeah, I mean,
unless the
reboot really goes heavy-handed with the lore building.
But if it does, then it's going to take away the fact that it's a comedy.
Yeah, that's true. That's another thing. Comedy movies. That's like creating a cinematic universe for Tommy Boy.
Like, don't forget, Ghostbusters is first and foremost supposed to be a comedy. It's not supposed to be a purely sci-fi horror ghost story.
Yeah, this is not hard sci-fi. You know, this isn't like Inception or Interstellar. This is a comedy first and foremost.
Nolan should have his own cinematic universe. Well, all of his that would be something.
Somehow they are all tied together.
That would bend everyone's mind.
You know they're all tied together somehow. Did you ever
we're going to find out 10 years down the road, yeah.
Sidebar. Did you ever pick up on the Titanic connection?
With what? Titanic and
Inception.
Inception.
Leonardo DiCaprio washes up on a beach.
Oh, what? So,
I'm just saying that was no. I'm not saying he made it. No, somebody mentioned that to me. They're like, "Have you ever heard of the Titanic connection?" I'm like, "What do you mean the Titanic connection?" I just think it's interesting that he drowns in that movie. Spoiler alert. Or he doesn't drown, but he like freezes in the water.
Freezes.
Whatever. I'll never let you go. Bye.
Yeah. Like, true love. Whoops.
Sorry. Did not enjoy that movie, except for Kate Winslet. But the point is that Kate Winslet was awesome, and also that there people are suggesting there's a connection between Titanic and Inception.
You're just saying that because she was naked.
What? No, I thoroughly enjoyed her acting, Rich. God,
okay.
Come on.
Right.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
All right.
I especially enjoyed the scenes where she, you know, had that very dramatic pose on that dramatic couch and that dramatic romantic encounter.
It's not the... It wouldn't. What am I trying to say is that. What am I trying to say? Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
There you go.
Yeah.
You had to bring a Hot Pocket to bed with you for that one.
Wow. gosh. But anyway, Inception, rewind even further. We were talking about cinematic universes.
Yeah.
That went way off the rails. But yeah, so this opens up a larger conversation, though. The cinematic universe thing, Marvel started it and DC followed very quickly.
Well, and they can pull it off because they've got so much lore to go over with all their superheroes,
they do.
All their comic
and
books.
The stories naturally intertwine.
Right.
Like Iron Man is always popping in and out of different superhero stories, you know, and the other ones as well. The Avengers, of course, obviously is the most the Avengers and the Justice League lend themselves so well to this type of storytelling. But we also see a cinematic universe starting to form with like the Harry Potter franchise, where they're doing a spinoff with the Magical Beasts movie, I think it's called.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So,
I mean, I don't know if that's going to take off as well.
I think Harry
Potter. I mean, I would say that has more of a potential to take off than Ghostbusters. Yeah. I don't know why they're doing it with Ghostbusters.
I wouldn't mind a cinematic universe with Harry Potter. I think there's a lot there.
Yeah, there is.
There's so much there.
And J.K. Rowling is interested in explaining the lore of the magic universe.
Yeah. Another cinematic universe now, of course, is Star Wars, Rich.
Yeah, my beloved Star Wars, yeah.
And they said they're going to do it. And I think that is, you know, right there with Marvel is one of the best franchises to do it with. I mean, it has so much there. And now that they decanonized all the extended universe stuff, they can write as many stories as they want, which I'm super excited about. I think now that's in Disney's hands, it's going to be amazing.
Well, Disney, I'm hoping that all of the right moves that they made with Marvel will hopefully pay off with Star Wars.
I can't imagine it.
It's going to be tough. It really is. I mean,
it's going to be tough. But
you have to remember that this upcoming movie for Star Wars, Episode 7,
yeah,
is not just trying to get new kids hooked into Star Wars. It's
trying to win back fans.
Trying to win back fans from the prequel trilogy disaster, but also trying to satisfy fans from 30 years ago who walked out of Return of the Jedi, loved it, and was like, we want more.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be it. You know,
yeah,
this is like my older cousins are going to be judging this movie based on how they would have liked a movie when they were young.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. My cousins, my aunts and uncles, and my parents, they're all going to be judging this movie. And that's a really good point. There are so many audiences this movie has to.
That J.J. Abram, he's got to be really minding his P's and Q's for this movie.
I think he's a good fit though. I mean, he did a good job with the Star Trek movies. I know some people didn't like the second one. The second one had its problems. But the first Star Trek reboot, I thought was really good.
Well,
I enjoyed it.
I hope for Star Wars universe it does.
Yeah. I mean, Star Wars, I mean, I can't imagine it going wrong. It's just, there's so much there. It's just such a great universe. And anything is better than the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, they could just film a guy. They could put up that video of that kid flinging that lightsaber around from YouTube, and people would like it more than the prequel trilogy, you know? But yeah, these cinematic universes, it's really interesting. It also, another real quick interesting tidbit I thought, I know the Tolkien family is not too keen on licensing out any more of J.R.R. Tolkien's work, but if you're going to talk cinematic universes, you got to talk The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and now, you know, maybe they do the Silmarillion. I don't know. I know you're not a fan of that stuff, but I think, again, you talk about universes that have such a wealth of lore and backstory. This is the king right here. So, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is maybe this is a new trend in Hollywood. Maybe you see more franchises trying to go the cinematic universe route. And
I would say
TV shows and multiple movies.
I would say only do it if it warrants it. You've got an expansive world that you could spin off TV shows, movies, spinoffs from.
Yeah.
If not, I agree. I think you're going to fall flat on your face. And unfortunately, I think this, if they do decide to do Ghostbusters this route, or the Ghostbusters cinematic universe, I think that's going to fall flat.
Yeah. Just like any trend, you have to judge whether it's right for your series or franchise.
Right.
Jurassic Park would be such a good one to do.
Yeah.
They have multiple Islands with clones dinosaurs.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, it would
be. I mean, I'm not big into dinosaurs, but yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah, I could see that working definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to start pitching movie studios about cinematic universes.
There you
guys,
go.
Guys, cinematic universes. I'm going to be like the aliens guy.
You're like going all surfer.
I don't know.
Guys, man, check this out.
Well, because when I moved to California, you have to talk like a surfer.
Yo, guys, I know exactly what we're going to do.
Like, cinematic universes and, like, totally, like, movies and, like...
Remember that Keanu Reeves movie, Point Break? We're going to make a whole cinematic universe based on that.
I don't know why you did the clap. Is that what surfers do?
Yeah. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Bro. Bra, man.
Totally
tubular.
Keanu Reeves knows what's up. He'll be on it on this.
Radical.
Even if he's 45.
He's 45. Keanu Reeves is awesome, though.
Yeah, I was actually watching...
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure Cinematic Universe. That would work. They're jumping through time. Tell me if there's a better type of story to do that with than time travel.
Radical. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
Because you could go to any era.
A movie for every time period. Oh, God, no. Like 1,300 movies later.
Keanu Reeves is 80.
Yeah.
Dudes, what's
excellent.
Up? Someone get me my pacemaker.
That's the plot of an entire movie. Bill and Ted in the search for the pacemaker.
Yeah.
They're doing a new Bill and Ted movie, I heard.
Oh, that's sad.
That's sad. They're starting their own cinematic universe.
Well, there you go. That's... our opinions on whether or not cinematic universes should be the new norm with new movies. Whew, there you go. That's a lot of entertainment news to get to. We busted out our surfer imitations, busted out our Ronald Reagan imitations.
Yeah.
What the hell were we doing this entertainment entree?
I don't know.
well, we spoke
French earlier, so, you know.
Yeah. All right, keep up on the ride. The ride is not over yet. We're just going to take a little bit of a break. But then the ride actually, I think, goes into full gear because we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news. I have the week's batch of crazy but true stories. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Authorities in New Zealand have announced they seized a haul of imported moist towelettes that they believe were soaked in over a gallon of liquid meth.
That's really weird.
Yeah, apparently this is the new way of trying to get meth into different parts of the country in New Zealand. Investigators said that two Taiwanese nationals were arrested and charged with the importation of a Class A controlled drug and conspiracy to supply a class A controlled drug.
No, I want to hear more about controlled drugs.
See, what you do is you dump the meth in the moist towelettes, and then you wrap the moist towelettes around the egg, and then you make scrambled eggs.
Ooh, and meth egg.
Yeah, meth
egg. Oh, man. Mm. Do they serve that at IHOP? You just go in and you say, can I have a,
meth egg?
A short stack?
Meth egg.
With a side of meth egg?
Meth egg. All of a meth egg.
Meth egg phenamines.
You know what it is. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. It's getting the end of the year. I'm messing up basic words now.
Yeah. A was only a letter.
Yeah.
You weren't even messing up words. Just a letter.
Yep. And if you want to have a little more spice in your breakfast, order the meth egg.
Meth egg, yeah.
Scrambled meth egg.
Yeah. Can you get them sunny side up? Because I like to dip my toast in the meth. It's delicious.
Mm.
Yeah. You don't like to dip your toast in the meth?
In the meth.
Yeah.
There you go.
You sop up all the extra meth with the some
meth
toast.
Toast.
Meth toast.
Meth toast. Meth toast. I'm going to have the meth toast.
That just sounds awkward. Meth toast.
The meth toast. IHOM. International House of Meth.
That would do some business.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Rocking out here late at night. You gotta love it. The spring is coming. I love this weather right now.
Yeah, all the snow is gone, basically.
Yeah, we're in like 50... We were in 50-degree weather during the day. At night, it's like a chilly 30s.
Yeah, but I mean, even so, that's better than like negative one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so much better. And yeah. We're not into the summer extreme hot yet. I'm liking this weather. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the mojo.
This is very appropriate music.
Yeah.
Very mellow, sort of calm. Yeah.
I'm digging it. That's why I picked it. It's the theme to Portlandia, by the way.
Oh, Portlandia is good.
Yeah.
I say that, but I've only seen like 3 episodes.
It's a good fantastic show.
It is good.
Check it out, as well as check out the theme song, Washed Out. Feel it all around if you're interested. So there you go. Plug and post.
Some insider information about your intro and outro music.
Yeah. All right. Now, without further ado, let's get to one of the most interesting portions of the show. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride. People will laugh at you. The Indian elders and the Indian spirits are laughing at you.
They're laughing at the Eagles.
And there you go. It's time to get the non-fortune cookie odd news started.
Oh, boy. This segment is always one of my favorites. I think it's one of everybody's favorite segments. For those that don't know, here in the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news and reads the news, if I can talk, and I react to the news. He keeps these stories hidden from me, secret and safe, away from my prying eyes, so I have no idea what he's got. This is my first time hearing these stories, so it's my gut reaction, my initial reaction. I don't know what's happening. You guys don't know what's happening. And Rich doesn't even know what's happening because these stories will take a weird and wacky turn almost every single time.
You just never know.
You just never know, yeah. That's what's so beautiful about this segment.
Well, I got a lot of stories for you. Ready to dive in?
I'm ready to go.
All right, well, while Americans were worried about the dress, remember, did you hear about that?
Oh my God, the dress scandal?
Is the dress blue, black,
hashtag
white?
Hashtag blue and black. What did you see?
I saw blue and black, I thought. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't
is that the only colors you saw? Because, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, it's blue and black. And then the next time I saw it, I said, oh my God, it changed colors. It's white and gold. And, like, each time I look at it, it's different to me. Depending on, like, I don't know whether it's the time of day or surroundings or the screen that I'm looking at it on.
Or what drugs you're on.
That definitely has a big impact, you know.
How many beers you had.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the point is, that's what Americans were worried about last week.
Right.
You know, we were worried about the dress on social media.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Chinese were up to something else, though.
Okay. I love that intro. Like, the Americans were worried about the dress, but the Chinese are starting a nuclear holocaust.
Oh, I didn't say a nuclear holocaust.
Well, I don't know. It just seemed like that would be, I don't know, a funny turn of events.
No.
No.
No. That would not be a funny turn of events if a nuclear holocaust happened.
Surprise!
Bombs! Oh. All right, well, anyway, let me finish my introductory line to this story.
Please.
So that's what Americans were worried about. In China, they were worried about something different on social media, and it has to do with Jackie Chan.
Oh, I just want Bruce Lee homie.
Yeah, remember, we haven't heard from Jackie in a while.
So what is Mr. Chan up to?
I just want Bruce Lee homie.
Apparently he's up to some X-rated stuff with Bruce Lee.
Well, that's what he was up to. That was the last time we checked in with him.
Okay.
But apparently someone in China dug up an old commercial with Jackie Chan in it.
Okay.
And in this commercial, Jackie Chan talks about Bawang shampoo. The famous Bawang shampoo.
What does that stand for? Is that just like a company name?
It's a company name. Bawang shampoo.
Bawang?
Yeah. Like, okay. It's like Prel or...
Like Bo and then Wang? Like Bawang?
Bawang.
Oh, B-A. Bawang.
Yep.
Okay.
So, of course, the marketable Bawang shampoo.
Right. Of course. Highly marketable.
Yep.
You can trust in Bawang.
Yep. Well, anyway...
I'm sorry. Why you can trust in
I don't
like
know.
A shampoo?
What do marketers say?
I don't think of trust when I think of shampoo. I just
okay. Get your hair clean with Bawang. Put some Bawang on your head.
There you go. Anyway, the point is, in this commercial that Jackie Chan shot for Bawang shampoo, he talked about how he uses the product in his hair.
Right.
Now, the video is in Chinese, but what is going famous is the fact that apparently Jackie Chan made up a word on the spot that is not an actual Chinese word.
Okay, so he created a Chinese word?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to play the clip.
But it's in Chinese.
Yes, but you will definitely hear the part that he just made up.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's only a 3-second clip, but you will definitely hear the made up word. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here it is.
很油，那个头发咚，很黑，很亮。
That is not a Chinese word.
亮，很油，那个头发咚，很黑，很亮。
And he just rolled it off like it was no big whoop.
很油，那个头发咚，很黑。
The word.
I mean, what was he? Do those sounds mean something in Chinese?
The word he apparently, I guess, is that he was going for, I guess, that he made up, that people are saying in China is D-U-A-N, duang.
Okay.
That is not an actual Chinese word. But now, if you take everything he said in that 3-second clip.
Right.
The actual translation is, Bawang shampoo, make your hair, at this point, dwang.
It makes your hair dwang. And then, that makes sense to me.
And then, very black, very shiny, very soft. So he's saying Chinese words in the beginning and at the end of that clip.
Right.
Except for that dwang. That is not a Chinese word. So here it is one more time for you.
很黑，很亮，很油，那个头发咚，很黑，很亮。
So there you go.
So did he mess up or did he just decide to go crazy?
I guess he decided to go crazy. But apparently, when Bawang Shampoo saw the commercial, they decided not to air it.
Okay.
So I guess maybe they actually thought it was like, how dare Jackie Chan not use actual Chinese?
Right. But was this filmed a long time ago?
Yeah, this was filmed in 2004.
Wow. They paid a lot of money to get Jackie Chan, probably.
Just for him to use a made-up word.
黑，很亮，很油，那个头发咚，很黑，很亮。
It's like a mixture of like a gong going off and like,
Dong.
The other thing I get, yeah, it sounds like a gong going off. Dong.
It does. Maybe he was adding his own sound effects.
Yeah, he wants to be on the radio.
That's what it is.
We should get Jackie Chan here on the podcast so he can do all of the sound effects.
很亮，很油，那个头发咚，很黑，很亮。
Yeah, that's
so random. Like, I wonder if he really was trying to say a word. Like, what word would go there though? You said that the translation was Bawang shampoo. What was the translation?
According to the translation, make your hair go, and then the word dong, whatever it is.
Right.
And then after that, very black, very shiny, very soft.
Make your hair go,
dong, whatever that is.
I mean, maybe it makes your hair do that.
Dong. You put it in, it goes dong.
Yeah.
很黑，很亮，很油，那个头发咚，很黑，很亮。
It does sound like he just added it in. Like, even the translation, like, you could take it out and it would still sort of make sense. You know what I mean? Make your hair go very black, very shiny, or whatever it said.
Well, the actual duang doesn't exist in any Chinese dictionary.
It's not even similar to any sort of word?
No.
Oh, man, this mystery is interesting.
Yep, so people online have been speculating nonstop as to what Jackie Chan actually meant by the word duang.
Right, like we're speculating now.
Right.
Well, did the internet come up with anything? Because I know the internet is like genius.
Apparently nothing that made consensus yet. The Chinese blog site Weibo, which is apparently the Chinese counterpart to YouTube.
Right.
It has been viewed already more than 8 million times since the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
People are...
Talk about viral.
Yeah. All right. That's why I was talking at the beginning of this intro. We had the dress in America over the past week. In China, right. They had Duong. They're trying to figure it out. What are you doing to us, Jackie?
很亮很油那个头发很黑很亮
It is a great sound.
So there you go.
And there's no reason for him to say it.
Right, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So until Jackie Chan actually comes out or somebody asks him about it, we're going to be left in limbo. We don't know what he was trying to do. Dwong.
Dwong.
Yep. The mystery continues. All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, now we're moving on to a weird story to a repeat offender. I can't believe this has happened again.
Okay.
Another teacher in Iowa has been accused of going to class drunk. Again.
Why? It's bad that you have to say again. It shouldn't have happened once.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Yeah. Marshall County Sheriff's deputies had to arrest Carissa Bryant, a sixth grade teacher at Lanalan Intermediate School, after officers received a tip that she was teaching class while intoxicated. Chief Deputy Steve Hoffman said that the incident happened the same day that a county deputy was actually at the school for the DARE program, which is the anti-drug and anti-alcohol classes.
Nice. Well, you see, actually, this was all scripted to show the children the dangers of drugs and alcohol. Boom. Figured it out.
cops arrested Bryant following a sobriety test during which she allegedly slurred her words and appeared bleary-eyed. She blew a 0.19 blood alcohol concentration, which is more than twice the legal limit in Iowa.
Yikes. It was first period.
Yeah, boy.
It's like 8:30 in the morning.
This is going to be a long day.
Yeah. She had some for breakfast, you know?
Police said that there was no evidence that the teacher drank booze at the school, so they are concerned that she drove to work drunk.
Oh, that's not good.
Bryant,
especially driving through a school zone drunk, that seems really dangerous.
Yeah. Bryant, when asked, claimed that, quote, "I only had a drink at 3 a.m. in the morning."
I only had a drink at 3 a.m. in the morning.
That's
okay.
It. I don't know what you're talking
about. Just one drink.
One drink at 3 a.m.
Like
in the morning.
7 hours ago. I don't buy it.
But I blew a 0.19 blood alcohol concentration.
Yeah, I don't think so. They should check her lunchbox.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Bryant faces one count of public intoxication, and it's possible they're also going to slap her with child endangerment charges as well.
Well,
so.
I mean, she drove to school drunk.
Yeah.
You know, over, what was it, twice the legal limit.
Yep.
You know, so that's not good.
And like I said, this is the second time it's happened in Iowa. What is up in Iowa?
Wait, the first one was in Iowa?
Yes, the first
really?
One was in Iowa, yeah.
What state? Iowa?
Yeah, boy, man, these teachers.
No one's going to get that reference.
These teachers don't have anything better to do.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Well, they're
on?
Living in Iowa. I mean, like, when you think about states that you forget, Iowa is, like, up there, don't you think?
I probably.
It's, like, such a random, no-point state, you know? Like, Wyoming. Like, what's the point of Wyoming?
To compete with Colorado?
Okay,
I guess for Battle of the Square State.
And it's sort, yeah, it's square, yeah. So that's notable.
Take that, Colorado!
Down with Colorado. They must have like a really heated rivalry. Down with Colorado.
That's why
we're the squarest of the squares.
That's Wyoming's actual state motto. Screw Colorado.
Screw Colorado. Welcome to Wyoming. Screw Colorado. Now leaving Colorado. Screw Colorado.
There you go.
Oh man.
If that is not Wyoming's state motto, it should be.
I'm going to look it up.
What is Wyoming state
motto? Wyoming state motto, yeah.
Let I can't. What else are they famous for? There's nothing else Wyoming's famous for.
I think it's just equal rights.
Ooh.
I don't
equal
know.
Rights.
It's kind of boring, don't you think?
Yeah, come on. Spice it up. Screw Colorado.
Their motto is equal rights. That's it.
Nah, come on. Change that up.
All right, should I look up Colorado's state motto?
Screw Wyoming.
Yeah, screw Wyoming. I got to see this. It's in a different language.
Why is it in a different language?
I don't know. That's what came up on Wikipedia.
Yep, if Wikipedia doesn't have it, then
state motto, nil sine numini. I can't even say the words.
It's Latin for something, obviously.
It's gotta be some type of Latin. Nothing without providence. So, there you go.
That's boo. Boring. Those are both boring. Come
they
on.
They were really boring. I'm really disappointed.
Come on. Okay, you two, you're gonna start a rivalry. Colorado, change your state motto to screw Wyoming, and Wyoming, change your state motto to screw Colorado. I think that'll be more interesting.
I want to know what this alternate universe is where these states have such a heated rivalry. They just hate each other with a passion.
I think that would be funny. Come on.
I think it would be funny, too.
Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, man.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. To where? To what?
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
Colorado.
Are they fighting each other?
Yes.
In this corner. The 100 square mile state known as Colorado. And in this corner, I don't know. Oh, that'd be an awesome pay-per-view.
There you go. I'd be interested.
Just two squares. They're gonna land masses fighting each other.
Yeah, they're going to battle.
That's what earthquakes are.
They're going to battle at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Earthquake battle.
Yeah. No, that's what earthquakes are. I mean, maybe some people didn't learn this, but I learned this because I had a really good geology class. But earthquakes is when two different states fight each other. And the land gets pushed together, and it makes mountains.
And that's what you learned from your really good geology class. Good job.
Oh, God damn. Yep, that's what I learned in geology class. It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
All right.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, there you go. Let's go back to Iowa. How the hell did we jump on the Iowa?
I don't know.
The point is...
We started talking about Iowa, and then we talked about states that you forgot about, and Wyoming was one of them, and you said, you know, the whole thing with the square states.
Well, the point is, Iowa has teachers that are drunk off their asses going to school. Actually, you know what?
Do you have more Iowa stories?
I have a Wyoming story.
The whole Wyoming story?
Should I jump ahead?
Yeah, let's do a Wyoming story.
You know, in honor of our random dissertation to Wyoming, let's get to the Wyoming odd news story I have.
Let's do it. I gotta hear Wyoming's weird claim to fame.
All right. Well, after they changed their motto to screw Colorado.
That's actually the odd news story.
Yeah. In Wyoming, police say that a man and a woman have stolen more than $9,000 worth of women's undergarments from a department store in Wyoming's capital.
Okay.
Officer,
so they're starting a business.
What business is this? Stolen underpants?
No, they're going to sell them.
The underpants gnomes?
The underpants gnomes, yeah.
The underpants gnomes. Time to go to work. We're going out. Search for underpants food. We won't stop until we have underpants. Yum, yum, yummy, yum, yum. Time to go to work. We're going out. Search for underpants food. We won't stop until we have underpants. Yum, yum, yummy, yum, yum. Yep, so there you go. The underpants gnomes apparently are in Wyoming.
I mean, clearly these guys are what are they, a couple?
Yeah, this man is a and couple. Woman? Man and a woman.
This couple was just a fan of South Park and the underpants gnomes.
Well, Officer Dan...
9,000 pairs.
Yeah, $9,000 worth.
Oh, $9,000. Oh. Yep. How much underwear is that?
That is 1,000 pairs of panties.
That's still a lot of pairs of underwear.
Officer Dan Long, Cheyenne police spokesman said that the shoplifters made out with 1,000 pairs of panties from one JCPenney store. How the hell do you not notice somebody carrying off 1,000 pairs of panties?
Well, I mean, maybe it's cold in Wyoming, so it looks like they have a big coat on.
What?
And they stuff all of them in the coat.
Are they stuff all of them?
All, well, I
it
mean,
doesn't
two,
burst out?
Two people, 500 pairs each.
That's underpants gnome magic as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, obviously.
I mean, how do they get out with that much? Underwear, underpants, panties.
Well, the police say that store employees did not notice the theft until several minutes after they left the JCPenney store.
Hey, guys, where did all our merchandise go?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was here just a second ago.
Probably Jim took it. I don't know.
Jim.
He's the manager.
Why is the manager taking 1,000 pairs of women's panties?
He does that every Friday.
That's his fetish.
I don't know.
He does it every Friday. Yeah. Just gotta swap him out for the fresh batch.
Right, yeah.
We get him delivered from New York, freshly baked.
Freshly baked?
Yeah, yeah. It's like bread. Bakery? It's like bread, yeah.
Sticking right next to the ciabatta bread?
Yeah. No, you know how like delis and places, they swap out the old rolls for the new rolls?
So that's what he does every Friday.
Why else would you swap out panties, Rich? They're freshly baked.
Well, police have still not found these underwear bandits, so they're on the loose in Wyoming.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they might be coming to a mall near you.
They've got 1,000 pairs of panties with them, though. I mean, like, it doesn't seem like it would be that difficult to find them, right? Maybe it is.
I don't know. Beats me. Well, where do you keep that much?
Where do you keep that much, that many pairs of underwear?
Vault.
A vault?
Yeah.
The underpants vault.
Yeah, the underpants vault.
Is it like...
That's what the gnomes do, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, so... Beats me. I don't know.
That's crazy.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right. This one is another couple. Couples are getting in trouble in the odd news here.
Well, I mean, they always get in trouble in the odd news, right?
Yeah. And this one is in Ohio.
Ah, good old Ohio.
Police in Ohio said that they've arrested a man who called 911 to accuse his wife of stealing, quote, his cocaine.
I do cocaine!
Yeah.
I do cocaine!
Sure. I mean, it always surprised me that people, like, forget what they're doing is illegal.
I do cocaine!
Maybe he thought, like, her crime took precedence over the hardcore drug use.
Well, 39-year-old Robert Daniel Collins of Alliance, Ohio, called 911 Wednesday night and accused his wife of cocaine theft.
I do cocaine!
Police arrived and found Collins, who himself was actually wanted on an active warrant for failing to pay taxes.
Oh, my God.
You idiot.
This is like a field day for those cops.
Yeah.
Busting so many people, like, you didn't even have to do anything.
In addition, the cops found a glass pipe that was identified for being used to smoke marijuana. As a result, Collins was taken to the Stark County Jail.
But what about the cocaine, Rich?
Did they ever find
the cocaine?
I know. That's gonna have to be answered on a different story, on a different episode of the Ohio Stark County Jail Records show.
Sounds like great public broadcasting. Why is there such dramatic music?
They've got so many issues to deal with. This man's cocaine.
He done stole my cocaine. I don't know why they talk like that in Ohio.
This man's cocaine. His tax evasion. What's going on this Friday on Stark County Jail?
On the next Ohio Stark show. County Jail, Ohio police report show. One man's cocaine. One woman's unquenchable thirst for that cocaine. What will the Clark County policeman do? I think we got a hit show on our hands here.
Might want to shorten the name. I can't. We need
Clark.
To
was it Clark County Police Records?
Stark.
Oh, I was calling it Clark County. Stark County. What was the rest of it?
Stark County Jail Records Show.
Stark County Jail Records Show. It's just like a straight up shot of like the actual police reports with dramatic music over it.
Yeah.
And the viewers just have to read. It's the worst TV show ever.
Well, he could face up to 60 days in jail on the drug paraphernalia charges, and worse when he gets to the tax evasion. So, boy, he's going to have a lot of trouble coming his way, all because he thought his wife took his cocaine.
I took cocaine!
But, I mean, did she take the cocaine?
Police did not specify whether or not the alleged stolen cocaine was recovered.
So she gets away with this horrible theft.
Maybe this was all a scheme to get the stolen cocaine.
She pretended to steal the cocaine in order to get her husband arrested.
The plot twist coming up on Stark County Jail Record Show.
Stark County Jail Record Show.
Oh, yeah. Wait until you hear... Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Wait until you hear what this guy does with cow tipping. Coming up next here on the Stark County Jail Record Show.
Why do you have a sound effect of a cow mooing? I didn't realize you had that.
Why not?
Do you have other animals? I mean,
never knew when I was going to need it.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, it just came in handy right there.
Yeah, that's a cuckoo clock, not an animal.
That's not an animal.
Well, the point is, I got a dolphin, too, all right?
Yeah, there you go. A cow and a dolphin. Yeah. Why those two animals? And that's it. No, like, ducks, no chickens, cow and dolphin. How many times did we use the dolphin sound? Zero up until this point.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You never know.
You never know. Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
All right. How about we try and steer the course straight with some Florida stories?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And I got a full-blown segment here. I got three Florida stories.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And, I mean, it just happens. Like, I don't like, try and find Florida stories.
Yeah,
just happens. I don't know if it's the water. I don't know if it's the governor. There's just weird stuff.
It's a little bit of both down there.
Weird stuff happens in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, this is not like a strange occurrence. Like, you routinely have multiple Florida stories.
Yep. And I got three here for you this week. You ready for the first one?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, well, the first one you can simply describe as holding the cheese.
Okay.
Because thieves made...
Like the cheese pervert? What was the... Remember that guy?
Yeah. Northtown had the Swiss cheese pervert.
It was the whole...
No, it's not a pervert.
Okay. No, it's not a pervert this time. Nope.
But thieves made off with a full tractor trailer filled of shredded mozzarella cheese bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center in Central Florida.
Why?
Would you like to take a guess at how much cheese that's worth?
Oh, God. You mean in terms of money?
Yeah.
Cheese is expensive. I'm going to say like $500,000.
It's not that much.
Okay.
But $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
The truck was officially reported stolen on Sunday. Local newspapers report that the driver and his girlfriend left the trailer at a truck stop in Summersfield on Saturday evening while having a mechanic check the trunk. The county sheriff's officials say the woman reported the truck was missing on Sunday. Deputies say a hauler was also reported missing from the lot on Saturday, presumably to take the trailer. The missing trailer has white mud flaps with Hudsonville Trailer Sales on them. It also has a Michigan license plate. So,
What is happening in this story?
So, if you see
was this a truck from Michigan then? Or?
I guess so, yeah. The truck itself is from Michigan.
The truck that was carrying the mozzarella cheese?
Right.
Was from Michigan,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's where cheese comes from, right?
But it's on the loose right now in Florida. Someone has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
Well, What were they planning to do with the cheese? Are they throwing like the biggest pizza party ever? They're just going to have so much pizza.
You can't exactly sell that on the black market.
I can just picture people on like the street corner. Hey, you want some mozzarella? Nobody can see me opening my coat and showing the products. But, can you buy street cheese?
Street cheese?
Yeah, like street drugs, street cheese.
This is the good stuff.
Oh, man, I got some hardcore mozzarella here. They like snort it. Oh no! You melt it and then snort. That sounds painful.
You have to get out the scales and you have to measure how much cheese is on it.
Nah, man. Add another sprinkle on top.
Yo, man, I got cheese for your pizza.
A dime bag of mozzarella.
Hit me up.
Oh my god.
So there you go.
Yeah, I want to know what they're like. Did they think there was something else in the truck?
Probably.
Did they think, oh man, this is the diamond truck. We're gonna hit it rich. And then they open it up and it's just cheese.
Well, some idiot right now has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese in Florida.
This is like the shredded mozzarella in like packages, right? This isn't just like a truck filled with literal shredded cheese, is it?
I think it's in packages because it says it was bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center.
Yeah, so it's got to be in packages.
Yeah.
Like you'd think that there's like a picture of like a pizza on the side or something.
Yo, man, take this package. That's the best mozzarella you'll ever have.
Yeah. Oh, man. People are, like, hooked on mozzarella.
Yeah. Oh, man. You got that mozzarella?
You got that mozzarella?
Oh, boy.
Wait, why'd you turn to Mickey Mouse there at the end?
He's in Florida, right?
Yeah, he is. I need some more of that mozzarella cheese.
Mickey Mouse has a drug addiction to stolen mozzarella cheese.
I can't run the park without my mozzarella cheese. Oh. Goofy, you got some more?
Of course, Mickey. I don't have any mozzarella.
We're going to have to go to the back of the stolen truck.
Oh, my God. Mickey Mouse. Why, Mickey?
Oh, boy. You need to get me that dime bag. You don't give me that dime bag, I'm going to blow your effing head off.
Don't mess with the mouse. Oh.
So.
I'm the one who knocks.
Yes.
I am the danger. I would now want to
oh
see
my gosh.
A Breaking Bad and Mickey Mouse crossover where they're dealing mozzarella cheese.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh man.
You think that is me? I am the danger.
Say my name!
Yes!
Say my name!
Mickey Mouse.
You're goddamn right! Oh my god.
That has to happen.
I mean, between this and the Stark County Jail Records show, I mean, we've got a new lineup for AMC.
AMC, call us. We got two hit shows
for
you.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh. Breaking Mickey.
Breaking Mickey and
the Stark County Show.
Stark County Record Show. Coming soon to AMC. That's what's going to replace Mad Men and Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just going from one hit to another.
Woo. Let us know how you want to proceed, AMC.
Oh. What? This is a story about people stealing cheese, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can't remember. Oh.
All right. Ready for our next Florida story?
Yeah.
Another Florida one coming at you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Sarasota, Florida woman now faces felony charges after she allegedly posed as a nurse at a hospital clinic for over a year. Apparently they don't check nurses in Florida or doctors either. We had the story about the teen boy who was pretending to be a doctor.
Does anybody down there have a medical license?
Probably not.
Probably not. They just have witch doctors still.
Christina Balin is accused of practicing medicine without a license. Cops say that she lied to her employer and fooled everyone who worked there into thinking she was a registered nurse, when in fact, she had no medical training. As a matter of fact, she didn't even have a college degree.
So was she getting paid?
Yeah.
Wow. That's. I'm going to do that.
Just go down to Florida and say you're a doctor.
Like, I am a surgeon. give me all the money, please.
Dr. Costanzo.
Dr. Costanzo. I walk into the lab, I got, like, the wrong gloves, and just, I don't know. What do doctors do? I don't know.
It's time to do the heart transplant. Sir, this guy's in for an ACL injury.
Whoa. Well, I already took out the heart, so we kind of had no choice. So, who's doing the donation?
Well, an office manager uncovered Balin's alleged deception while investigating the theft of medical supplies.
Gee, I wonder if the two are connected. the unlicensed nurse practicing medicine illegally.
Stealing medical supplies. But apparently none of this stopped her from administering medication and flu shots and dispensing actual medical advice to patients.
Oh my gosh.
Police department spokesperson Genevieve Judge said that her goal was she wanted to be a registered nurse, and that when she found out people would believe her story, she just went with it. It's a very scary and very bold person. Sarasota.
She just went with it.
Yeah.
So she took Nike's slogan to heart. Just do it.
Yeah.
Illegal medical practice. Just do it.
Balin now faces felony charges of unlicensed practice of a healthcare profession and criminal use of personal information. Police are now questioning the managers who hired her as well. Balin has only told the press that, quote, this incident is a mix-up with licensed paperwork, and has replied no comment to other questions.
Yeah, right. Oh, my gosh.
So, there you go there.
That is absurd. Like, how do you go for a job and nobody checks? Like, I'm assuming she had to submit a resume that had, like, you know, like, where she went to college. They didn't ask for, like, transcripts or anything or former employment. They just were like, yeah, sure, whatever. We believe you.
Stark County Jail Records Show. All right. That sounds legit.
That sounds legit. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
It's on a public broadcast service, right?
It's on PBS.
AMC. No, on AMC. That's right. Sorry.
It's coming soon, right?
Coming soon. Yeah. It's in post-production.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go there. And I've got one more Florida story for you. Ready for it?
Yeah.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
And this one is another just almost miracle.
Okay.
Almost like a miracle here.
Okay, what do you got?
Police say a 27-year-old woman who was too busy texting walked into the path of a freight train, was hit, thrown in the air,
oh my God,
but somehow survived.
How do you not hear the train coming?
You're too busy texting. I'm too busy. I'm too busy.
One of our classic odd news stories, though, is about the lady that fell asleep on the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Right? So she was at least asleep. This person was awake.
Yeah.
Trains are freaking loud. Aren't they?
Supposedly.
Am I imagining a different type of vehicle?
I also think trains aren't as deadly as I thought they were, apparently, because these people
you can fall asleep and be fine. You can get hit by a train and be fine. The thing was, it's like she wasn't paying attention, so she ragdolled instead of, like, tensing up.
Probably.
What do you mean, probably? She got train rich. You're like, yeah, that makes medical sense.
Sure.
You're
Dr. Costanzo. I'm trusting you over there.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. With my extensive medical knowledge of train victims.
Yeah. Well, police say 27-year-old Sheena Kenya appeared to be texting Monday afternoon as she walked around the crossing gates and into the path of a passing freight train. Police Sergeant Gary Gross said that the woman, quote, wasn't paying attention. She suffered a compound fracture to her arm and leg. She was taken to the hospital, but she was okay.
She asked for her phone back.
Yeah.
Did you get my phone?
I needed it back. Two Amtrak trains were delayed during an investigation into how she was hit. So
she ruined, like, everybody's work day.
Yeah, if you had to take the public transportation, yeah, it was,
God.
You probably were delayed a little bit. And there you go. That's what I got for Florida.
Oh, Florida.
What the hell are you guys up to?
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I'm just so amazed. Like, every time you bring a story about, like, people getting hit by a train, I'm like, how do you not hear it? Like, trains are really loud. Like, late at night, I can hear trains going through the Ambler train station. That's, like, 5 blocks away from me, you know?
Shh. Don't interrupt me. I'm texting.
Yeah.
How rude.
Be quiet,
Mike.
You roaring train.
Yeah. Train, yeah. Jeez. Conductors.
Yeah. Stop blowing that horn.
I'm trying to text what I'm having for lunch.
I mean, the crossing things are down. They're going ding, 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 ding. Red lights are flashing. The train's blowing its horn. Chugga, 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 chugga. Woo, woo. And just like, I can make it across at a leisurely pace while I'm texting. I want to know what was so important that she had to text about.
She was probably Instagramming her lunch.
Instagramming her lunch. Yeah. It was all like edgy. She had to pick out the right filter.
I had fish tacos, LOL,
thump.
No filter.
No filter, thump.
Hashtag thump.
Ow, my legs are broken. She's live tweeting the events.
The whole thing is one giant hashtag. Oh, yeah. I broke my arm. Oh, hashtag hit by train.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hashtag train problems or something. I don't know.
There you go. Come. Hashtag hit by train.
Hashtag hit by train. LOL.
LOL. Rolf.
Rolf. Rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah. All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, let's go local. We're actually going to Jersey in this one.
Good old Jersey.
Yep. And I can't believe somebody did this. This is not a way to woo women, but authorities
Well,
say...
we know how to woo women. I mean, we had that whole segment about misconnections, right? You got to wave the ciabatta bread.
If your girl farts, wave your ciabatta bread.
And then accuse them of farting multiple times.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah.
But here's one in Jersey.
Okay.
Authorities say that a New Jersey man who allegedly stole a woman's car during their first date has been captured.
That sucks.
Waterford Township Police say that 53-year-old Gerald Teats was arrested Saturday after the vehicle, which had the vanity plate Jersey Girl, was spotted in Cherry Hill.
Oh, man.
Teats and the woman, who was a New Jersey resident, became acquainted online and decided to meet on Saturday night. Teats allegedly told the woman that his name was Gennaro Aladina and that he went by the nickname Lovin' Gooch.
Oh, my God. That's the worst. Why would anybody... If somebody comes up to you and says, my name is, what was it, Lovin' Gooch?
Lovin' Gooch.
Come on. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Hello, yeah. Hello there. I'm
yeah, Lovin' how can Gooch. You resist a guy with a name like that? Doesn't sound like a douchebag at all.
At some point in the evening, police say that Teats went to the bathroom, but he actually got the woman's car keys, ran outside, and drove away in her vehicle.
Oh, my God. I mean, obviously, the whole thing was set up so he could steal from her.
Yeah.
It wasn't really true love at first sight.
Teats was arrested in the morning with the stolen vehicle.
How did he get there? Did she pick him up, or did he take public transportation? Did he drive his own car and left
the
there?
Train.
He took the train. That hit the other girl.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
He was almost late for it. He was too busy texting texting the girl. He was tweeting at her with his Twitter name, with the Twitter handle Lovin' Gooch.
Lovin' Gooch. That's horrible.
And she was at Jersey Girl, so there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey,
match made in heaven.
Hey, at Jersey Girl, I'm going to be running late. The train hit a girl.
Yeah.
Still gum, though. I'll be there. Love Lovin' Gooch.
Oh.
All right.
That's such a bad nickname.
And I got one more story for you here. You ready for this one?
Okay, yeah. What do you got?
All right. So this story starts out relatively suspicious.
Okay.
Georgia police were called out to Bethany Church Road Saturday night after a man reported suspicious activity outside his home. The man told police his dog started barking and he saw two unknown vehicles parked on the side of the road near his house. He then noticed four males walking near his home. The man said he confronted them and told them that he had a shotgun. The man says as the boys jumped into their trucks and took off, he noticed that one of the trucks was carrying something large and loaded it into the truck as well. Police were called to the scene. They followed the tracks and were able to stop a white truck matching the description down the road that the man told the police about. The police inspected the truck and found a goat inside the vehicle.
I love this goat right now.
Yes, another one of these.
All that for a goat.
Yeah, another one of these goat stories. Unbelievable what these goats are up to.
Was the goat dead or alive?
It was alive.
It was alive?
And it was probably screaming like that.
The guy was like, "Officer, you won't believe this, but as the truck pulled away, it screamed." Oh, my God.
The man told them the goat belonged to his neighbor.
That's why they were stealthily abducting it in the middle of the night.
Yeah. One of the teens admitted to police that he stole the goat because, quote, "I thought it would be cool to ask a girl to prom by saying, will you goat with me to prom?" This was all part of a way to ask a girl out to a prom.
That's, will you goat with me to prom? I love this goat right now. Wow.
Would you be flattered by that?
I don't know. Maybe.
I love this goat right now.
Maybe. that just seems so, oh God, that's so cheesy.
I love this goat right now.
Would you ever, I mean, with a pun too? Really?
Will you goat with me to prom?
Then he screams at her. I'll keep screaming unless you say yes. Well, he pulls its tail and just screams.
Well, I don't know. I don't really have a fascination with goats. You're the one that has a fascination with goats. I don't know.
I said it one time that I loved that goat. I love this goat right now. A goat is good. It's good. Oh, my God.
Well, that was when the goat's owner arrived to the police station, picked up his goat, and told police that he was going to press charges. And now all four of the teenage boys are charged with theft of livestock. Oh. So they're going to be facing some legal troubles as well.
Didn't last week we just had a story about somebody stealing a goat?
Yeah.
This is 2 weeks in a row where people steal goats.
I guess people
Is this
going to
be like the new Florida trend? Every week we're going to have a story about goats.
We're always going to have a goat story. I don't know.
Yeah.
I love this goat right now.
We must keep the goats close to our hearts.
How emotional.
Yeah, it's so beautiful that goat had to scream. It's how goats cry.
And there you go. That's what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we have things come to a close here on the show, we like to recap everything that we have learned throughout the show. We call it, "What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?"
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
We learned that you can use a screaming goat to ask a girl to prom.
Woo!
So that is advice you can use, people.
Will you goat with me to prom?
Yeah, and then just make it scream and she won't be able to say no because she'll be too frightened.
Okay.
This goat-stealing psychopath is asking me to prom. I better say yes.
Intimidation 101.
There you go. Yeah. But most importantly, we learned about AMC's new fall lineup, Rich. Two great shows coming to AMC. The first of which, premiering at 9 o'clock, is Stark County Jail Records Show.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what that's all about, Rich?
We're going to look over the jail county records and stuff. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent. But you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to Breaking Mickey.
Yeah, that's the headliner.
That's the new Breaking Bad cinematic universe piece.
Yes, right.
Where Mickey Mouse is addicted to mozzarella cheese.
Yeah.
And
life is rough.
Becomes a drug dealer, yeah.
Watch out for the blue cheese.
Yeah, the blue cheese. You realize what you just said?
Yeah.
Oh, that was wonderful. Now I'm like so stuck on that great comment, the blue cheese. That's awesome.
You know what else I was fascinated by is the fact that you have a cow and dolphin sound clip.
Yeah, apparently I do. Go figure.
Just in case we have a dolphin storm.
Yeah, never know.
But speaking of nature, I once had a geology class, Rich.
A very good one.
A very good one. It taught me that earthquakes are when states fight and they push each other and they make mountains.
Good job. Who was your teacher for that class?
I don't know.
I'm sure he's proud.
Oh, he's very proud, yeah. But speaking of states, you said that Wyoming state motto should be screw Colorado.
Yeah, screw Colorado.
Do you remember what Colorado's state motto should be?
Screw Wyoming.
There you go. Excellent, yes. So we definitely think those states should take our advice and adopt those as state mottos. Apparently, during the show, I said nuclear holocaust would be a funny turn of events, and you said no.
Good job, Mike.
It seems like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I was misguided. And finally, Rich, you taught us a couple of awesome French words, like, there's on!
There's on!
Yes.
Yes, that's what they say. It's on, mademoiselle! That is all!
Did you say, listen, madam, that is all?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! What a show.
I still can't get over that stupid geology thing I said.
You took a geology class. You need to find out which professor that was, and you need to, like, give him a shout-out.
This wasn't real.
You lied!
I know, I can't believe
you're
it.
Liar! I can't trust you now!
I'm sorry, I'm just as bad as Brian Williams now.
Where am I gonna go for my Florida doctor information?
I don't know. You have to find another fake doctor.
Jeez.
Oh my god.
Well, that'll be what I have to do this week. Because that is the next time we're gonna be on the air. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our page on YouTube. Damn it. Where you can find a whole bunch of Best Bits videos, interviews, and a lot of other fun stuff we have up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can take us with you on the go. You can listen to us at work, at home, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you want to share the craziness like this, that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we have mini noodles. That are our best bits condensed to 1 to 2 minute sound bites that you can share with friends, family, fake doctors, fake professors you took in college, anybody. Go up to strangers. just tell them about the show. Why not? Because it's the best way to share the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. What a show, Mike.
What a show. It really is. If you want to find us on Twitter individually, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us on Twitter. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it for us. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hey!
Digital Podcast 2015. Kablamo! Oh, get over here! Pa-pow! Something!